Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, Michael Cohen here with producer Desi Simmons on a cold, snowy, and rainy night here in Lansing. Definitely winter is well upon us. On today's show, the funeral procession for former North Korean leader Kim Jong-il, which we're seeing on television, looks like his people just cannot cry hard enough. I want to get a better understanding of why a man that starved his people to death is getting this kind of a reaction. I'll talk to an MSU official who spent 8 years in South Korea to really get an understanding of this country. And it's called airtime. It's a way for public workers to get early retirement by paying for it. But it's taxpayers that end up paying the price, and although it's not available for new Michigan workers, I'll talk to one that was able to take advantage of the program before it was phased out. But let's begin with the Michigan legislature, which formally adjourned today for the year. It's a year that Republicans see as a big step in the right direction for Michigan. But what do Democrats think, and just how much were they really involved in the legislation that was passed? To give me an idea, I'm joined by Democratic State Representative Mark Meadows of East Lansing. Mark, thank you for joining me.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Now, I know you sent out an email news alert stating that one thing about this legislative year is that it was not bipartisan, although on the big issues, doesn't bipartisanship really only happen when the party in power has no other choice?
Yes, and we saw a little bit of that on the road commission bills that were run up the last day of session, which was December 15th. It turned out that there weren't enough Republican votes to pass the bills, and suddenly somebody wanted to talk to us, including the governor, and we were not able to get anything that would move our members to a yes vote, and nobody really negotiated with us. It was actually the first time I think the governor's office had approached us in the entire year. So while there was talk about bipartisanship all year long, and occasionally a Democratic bill would be passed, there was really no bipartisanship. I'm hoping that change will take place in the next year and that we'll see more legislation developed from both sides of the aisle so that we have a, you know, sort of a joint vision going forward. But you can't say that for this year.
So just how locked out were Democratic lawmakers? I mean, were there efforts to engage and there was just no response at all from Republicans?
Yeah, we had offered from the beginning. Obviously, you know, we're the minority party. We'd like to have some say in what's going on down there. But we were never given the opportunity to actually sit down and work through legislation. I'll give you an example. Over the last 2 years prior to this session, as Judiciary Committee Chair, Justin Amash, one of the most conservative members of the Republican side of the aisle, myself and another Democratic legislator, had dozens of meetings on indigent defense to develop legislation that could take care of a very serious problem in the state of Michigan. That was not atypical. That was something that happened on a continuous basis. Myself and Bill Rogers, a current Republican legislator, hosted joint meetings with business groups in an attempt to develop a strategy for changing the business taxes in the state of Michigan. We tried to do that over a two-year period. We got legislation moving forward, but, you know, when we got to this session, you know, all of those efforts ended.
So if we had had a governor, Bernero, and the Democrats held big majorities in the House and Senate, would we not have seen the same thing happening, but your party doing it?
I think yes and no. I think that we were in power in the House in any event, and we were attempting to develop bipartisan strategies. I can't say what would happen, and so I could speculate about a Bernero governorship, but I'm not exactly sure how I would even react to that. So it's, I think that, you know, I can't really say whether it would happen in the same way. Obviously, when you control both chambers and the governor's position, you don't have to negotiate with the other side. I think good policy, however, and if that is the objective of this governor and the Republican majorities in the House and Senate, you do tend to work with the other side to minimize at least the opposition and to find consensus wherever possible. Again, that hasn't happened this time. I think it's too bad. I can understand sort of the power play that has taken place, but really we could have improved much of this legislation. You know, right now we have a business tax that's going forward, a great tax changes that take place on January 1st without any knowledge as to how they'll really impact. And we could have developed a strategy that would have phased more of this in so that we could have tested it out as we go forward. We're kind of guessing at what will happen at this point in time.
I'm talking to Democratic State Representative Mark Meadows of East Lansing. So has there been any kind of a maybe even personal animosity built by the fact that there's been a complete shutout of Democrats by Republicans?
You know, I can't speak for every member of my caucus. I know personally I don't feel animosity towards any member on the other side of the aisle. I like a lot of them. You know, my differences with them are more on the policy end and more on, I guess, the priorities. You know, for me, a priority is public education funding. It wasn't the governor's priority. He used money from public education to pay for the business tax cuts that he said is his priority, and the Republican majority went along with that. I would have guessed, I would have gone in a different direction, but I don't have any personal animosity about it. I think that we made a mistake in going in that direction, and I hope, you know, really that I'm wrong and that we end up with a vibrant economy that is well-funding of public education as a result of the changes that are made, but I just don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, Republicans were incredibly efficient. I mean, the way legislation moved was downright spectacular. This is the governor's essentially first year here in politics in Lansing. Who do you think was really in control in moving things the way they were being moved in the efficient way? I mean, do you think the governor had this much understanding of the system to do that?
No, I don't. Actually, I think probably most of the movement in terms of legislation came out of the Senate. It's an extremely experienced body. Generally speaking, it hasn't been in the past, but if you look over there, many of the legislators in the Senate, who were elected last time, came directly from the House of Representatives. So they already had experience in the system. It's a little bit different on the Senate side, but with those that number of experienced legislators, I think that they were really the engine that was making things happen. Experience does count at the Capitol. And as far as a very efficient way of moving, really, you know, I think we moved, you know, something in the nature of 600 bills. And I think that's probably actually pretty similar to the way legislation has moved in the past. I don't think there was anything particularly different about it.
Well, I wonder now, the Republicans were faced with this huge budget deficit, and they were faced with this Michigan business tax, which they, the governor said he would be getting rid of that period. So looking at that dynamic, wasn't the only real choice to make the cuts that were made to tax the pensions and then to eliminate the Michigan business tax, which is what the Governor Snyder promised to do?
You know, that I guess if you want to do it in one fell swoop, yes, you know, you got to look for places to cut that you maybe never would have under any other circumstances. The problem with the approach, I think, is that essentially you're taking $1.4 billion in spending and you're removing it from the spending stream. You are giving, in exchange for that, essentially $1.8 billion in business tax cuts, but that doesn't enter the spending stream. Mm-hmm. So, you know, while there may be some boost in some areas of business, the people who walk in the door and actually buy goods and services no longer have as much money to spend. And so, you know, if you're going to do something like that, you need to do it in a phased-in manner. The governor could have accomplished his reduction in the business taxes or the change in the business tax system over a four-year period, for instance, and had less disruption in the spending part of the economy.
I see.
So I think a mistake was made, but again, I'm hoping that I'm wrong about it.
Just a minute left, but I do want to ask you, we saw Democratic lawmakers in Wisconsin doing the extreme move of leaving the state when they wanted to resist. Do you think Democrats here in Michigan did enough to fight and to resist some of this legislation?
Yes, I do. And, you know, I think that, you know, I'm not going to put the blame on the media, you know, because we need to educate people and we need to make sure that, you know, we make enough noise that we're noticed. But from the first day, We held press conferences. We issued press releases. We had town hall meetings. We went throughout the state of Michigan talking about an alternative to this. You know, personally, I've introduced bills to reduce the personal property tax, the thing that is at the top of the governor's list this time. But I did it over a phased-in period, and actually the lieutenant governor did it, similar bills last time. Mm-hmm. There are different ways to do this. We need to get the message out that we're not just, you know, the party of no, because we haven't been. We're the party of a different idea, a different way of accomplishing what we all want, which is improvement in the economy mm-hmm. and getting as many Michiganders back to work as we possibly can.
Well, we'll certainly see what 2012 brings. Democratic State Representative Mark Meadows of East Lansing, thank you very much for joining me.
I'm glad to have been here.
Excellent. Now, send us some